live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
It is episode 112 of the Better Unwrapped
Son of a
podcast.
Bitch. You just start this show
he
like that.
He said he was going to do it.
Oh,
my God. He said he was going to do it.
I was going to do it. My
Let
name
me
is
tell
Ken.
What I'm going to do.
Yeah, who sings that song again?
112.
And the episode we're on right now.
It's the S, the L, the I,
I'm going to have
M.
to play like Transistor when 311, episode 311.
Oh, comes on. Man.
I got a long way to go.
Just a couple more years. It's only like four more years. Five more years. Four. Yeah. Anyways, my name is Ken. We are here live in the studio. A fun, snowy night here in Detroit, Michigan.
Slightly.
Yeah. I checked out my work thing today, and I'm like, oh, I spent 28 hours on the road this week. That's lovely.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I went to just south of Cleveland yesterday.
Oh,
got home at about 10 and went to North Branch this morning, or West Branch this morning.
Ooh. Damn,
at 6 in the morning.
Did you get one of those giant bacon sandwiches?
I did not. I got in and out as fast as I could.
Oh, was it Tony's?
Yeah.
That's not West Branch.
No, that's in Birch Run.
Birch Run.
I thought they had one over there, too.
They might. I don't know. I literally went
sure,
in and out.
I'm sure everyone has high cholesterol up there.
The West Branch Theater with three movies playing right now.
Hey,
that's the kind of
is there like 20 seats per theater?
I did not go into the theater as much as I was hoping to get out early and maybe go to see Star Wars. But I did get spoiled on Star Wars. I heard that the Spice Girls had a reunion in the middle of the movie.
If you want to be my love.
Actually, I heard it was 184 minutes of Rickrolling.
184. That's the current trend online is everyone saying don't spoil the movie and making ridiculous claims of the movie, like how Kylo and Ren died.
What about Stimpy?
I heard that John Cena made an appearance.
But you just can't see him?
You can't see him.
He's in every movie.
Yeah.
I was funny. Well, so they're
not... still a Samuel L. Jackson.
That is true.
There's this great video on YouTube where someone spliced every single time Samuel L. Jackson said motherfucker in a movie.
Oh, yes.
And it's literally 10 minutes of motherfucker, motherfucker, motherfucker,
motherfucker.
Say what one more time.
So. So I don't know if you guys know, because it's not a spoiler, but in Star Wars, like Prince Harry is one of the stormtroopers in the
movie. Yeah, and William.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, like there's three special stormtroopers, Prince William, Prince Harry, and there's a third one that I can't remember. And then
It was me.
And then Kevin Smith actually does a voice for one of the stormtroopers as well, because obviously he can't be a stormtrooper.
Yeah, the one was just...
Is he too small to be a stormtrooper?
Kevin Smith,
he's a
the director.
I know, I was being...
Silent Bob?
Yeah, do you remember episode 4, you look a little short to be a stormtrooper?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, the uniform. That's Luke.
Yeah, okay. I got it. It took me a minute.
Okay.
Anyways, we are we're having a little fun today. No guest in studio. No real way to go. We just kind of want to talk beer. I did see. I don't know if you guys saw me post on Facebook my Facebook message from 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah. What was up with that?
Yeah. What about that?
So I found a message that I posted 8 years ago, and it said "Man Beer Laws Number 2." So obviously, I made multiple of these, and it said, "Thou shall not talk down to someone drinking a beer you do not like."
Sitting next to them, talking bad about a beer that you don't like, right?
Something like that. Yeah. it's the premise of if you like it, it's a good beer. Don't talk shit to someone for what they drink.
Do we know what Man Beer Law Number 1 was?
I don't know. I have to really
you need to look.
Something about beers on the fridge door as opposed to being in.
How old were you? Like 16 at the time?
Was this? Well, 8 years ago, I would have been 23.
Let's say, were you sitting at over at Augie's?
No, I was probably still at Augie's at 23. I was still at Augie's in 23. That never changed.
Do you ever see the that Beatles cover band with the Black Beetle? There is a Beatles cover band, and they all have the Beatles wigs on, and then there's this black dude in it, and he's also got the Beatles wig, and it just doesn't make sense.
I'm so confused.
I have no idea.
Well, let's go around. What are you guys drinking? We'll start with Dan.
Oh, I got a Newcastle, of course.
Yeah.
Couldn't find any King Cobra stuff.
I'm digging that can in front of you, though.
Oh, the
milkshake, the Woodward Bold. Oh,
yeah, that one's good.
That's the shit, dude.
Nice.
Rob.
Hey.
What's going on?
Man, I don't understand. I feel like every week now is like a PSA because I don't understand why people think that it's not Michigan and it's not going to snow. And it was, oh my God, it's snowing. I don't even know what to do. I have no idea how to drive in this. It's fucking Michigan.
It's kind of been a while since we've had a white Christmas, though.
I mean, but it's true.
It could be 60 tomorrow. It's all gone.
Exactly.
I think it was supposed to hit, 40, Tuesday like next week or something like that?
It's supposed to rain next week, too. So I just could not stand just people driving and a lot of people just complaining.
I have a little bit of an excuse because I got the cruise and this is my first snow year in the cruise.
I mean, you're
and
you're,
after I fishtailed in the rain,
right?
I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna not take my chances. I used to have Dan and Nick remember my Concorde that I used to have. That thing was a beast in the snow.
It was a long time ago.
That thing, like, you see a snowbank and I'd be like, oh, I don't care, boom, run right through it. The thing was old Detroit metal, like it was just no matter what, it wasn't like the plastic car that I have now. What are you drinking?
I've got kind of double fist, and I've got the barrel aged Lucifer's Cuvée.
Oh yeah,
and a Three Floyds Lazurite.
That's the McKellar.
McKellar collab with Three Floyds.
Oh yeah,
not bad, not bad.
The War Pigs, right?
The War Pigs.
War Pigs. As you see it on the side.
Yes, that is what I got.
Nick, what's going on?
What up?
What are you drinking?
Double fisting as well. I got the Lucifer's Cuvée that I brought in. Same thing Rob's having. And then I brought in the Bourbon Street Coffee Stout from Abita.
And they're just all chocolate over there.
Yeah. because I also brought in the Sanders.
Oh, geez, you brought the bumpy cake.
I brought the bumpy cake and then Anderson Valley Bourbon Barrel Stout. I don't know if we'll get to that one.
Are you planning on driving tonight, or what?
Of course. I got an exam tomorrow.
I figured with the roads the way they are, you could be drunk and you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. It just started.
It just evens out, you know.
Yeah, everyone's going to be driving. The drunk people are driving straight.
I mean, the snow we've had in the last 2 days, everyone just forgets how to fucking drive. It's not a surprise.
I was in downtown Ann Arbor on Wednesday, and people were just flying down downtown Ann Arbor as if it was nothing, and those streets were packed with snow.
Yeah. I was in downtown Tempe. It was 78 degrees.
Of course.
How's that weather change going for you?
I hate it. It's terrible.
Matt, what's going on?
Hi, Ken. How was your week, besides all your driving?
Other than a lot of driving, that was pretty much my entire week. I went to there's a new brewery opening up in Ashland, Ohio that I was at yesterday. And then there is Highway Brewing, which is going to be opening up, I'm guessing, later this month in West Branch.
And what are you sipping on?
I am sipping on something. You figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yes.
From Griffin Club.
I think that's another podcast that's going on right now.
Oh, is that next door?
Oh, damn.
Rob's like, you racist motherfuckers.
That's your third week in a row on that Tahitian coconut, isn't it?
It's good. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, I don't know if I drank it last week. We were drinking a lot of the Austin Brothers stuff last week.
I was pretty sure that was the first can you had, was Do You Figure It Out?
That's quite possible. I remember the night. I don't know if Brant or not Brant.
It's another B name.
Yeah. Dana, the father.
Yes.
He does not remember.
He does not remember. No.
Yeah. Well, so I went to Sellerman's to go hang out with them after and share their beer with Ian and Andy over at Sellerman's. And they didn't show up, so me, Ian, and Andy drank their beer. But I saw them the next morning because I was at Sellerman's the next day for one reason or another. And I ran into the sales guy or the head brewer, the one that wasn't in the family. Ran into him. And so I'm like, did they make it home safe? And he's like, I don't know. Well, he was staying over in Ferndale, and the rest were staying in Troy, so he didn't know.
But wasn't, like, Mama Austin in town to do the driving?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah.
I think Brant probably could have drove. The other two, no. There is no way that they could have driven.
Well,
Brant did a chug at the end of the show with us.
I don't think that was Brant. I think that was the other B name. Brant was the one that was sitting down there.
We should have figured this out.
I say that he was just tanked. Like
Blaine,
there you go.
No, it was something a little bit more off. off the beaten path than that.
It's the other Austin brother.
Blazer.
Blazer.
Blake.
There we go.
Blake was his name. So, yeah, I assume they made it home, or at least they made it to Vincente's garage last week.
Well, we haven't seen any news reports.
Vincente Garage?
Vincente Garage, yeah.
We haven't seen any news reports to the contrary.
You're saying they drove to Woodward in Royal Oak after getting tanked?
Well, no, that was the next day.
I was going to say, that didn't work out well, I'm sure.
the next guy got through
downtown Royal Oak, hammered as hell.
They were probably still drunk that next morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Blake was the one that chugged the cereal, the Black Note cereal.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
You see the conversation we had with Bell's Brewing?
Yeah,
that was great. I appreciate them responding, talking to us. A lot of people did not like the fact that we did
utter. It was essentially like we just went to India and just started slaughtering cows.
Wow. And that means we have to get even better stuff now to do that with. I want to piss off
everyone.
Get the
KBS, CBS.
I got it.
Send it off.
I got it.
I don't care.
Canadian bacon in a CBS.
Oh, I'm down for trial. Oh, my God.
I wonder.
In the French press.
Just chopped Canadian bacon.
No, just full slices.
It won't fit.
Roll it up.
Roll it up.
What if you chop it up with more of the grease out of it? I'm down to do this. This is an amazing idea.
Like, cook the bacon first and then put it in?
No, I think you need the salt.
Bacon's cured, so you don't really need to cook it.
Right. And I mean, I think it needs to be chopped so that you're able to actually get the saltiness of the bacon.
You need to soak
just sitting,
in there.
Yeah, if it's just sitting in there flat, it's not going to...
I don't know why you guys would do that and not do poutine instead.
How do you do that, though?
I think poutine.
You just take gravy. You pour the gravy in the thing.
How do you even drink it at that point?
First of all, it's not French-Canadian breakfast style, okay? So that shit back to Quebec where it belongs.
Oh, my God. You might as well just take the gravy with poutine and just pour it in a fucking Black Note.
Oh. French fries and milk, cheese curds.
I'm down to try all this if it pisses people off.
You kind of started it with mixing crap with great
Kentucky
stuff. Yeah, KBS with what?
The Kentucky Beast.
One of our favorite
beers. At least it was beer to beer.
It wasn't beer to cereal.
Right. I mean, I guess we do have to come up with some more of these combinations.
Just to piss people off?
Not necessarily to piss people off.
But just
at least be able to
that's just part of the reward of doing it. Like, oh, and everyone's pissed at you now.
So on. What are we going to put? What are we going to French press with Hop Slap and that comes out in January?
Oh, God. This should be amazing.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay. That's a great idea.
I'm in for that.
I mean, why wait when we can just use one now?
Because it's not fresh.
It's not,
right.
Yeah, we got to do it fresh. I want to. Like, nobody will care.
Because everyone's going to be like freaking out, like, oh, I didn't get any, and you're putting Cheerios in.
It's the same as those people who just drain poor beer that they could just give to somebody else.
Yeah, what was up with that? It seemed that happened a lot this week.
What?
People were drain pouring CBS.
Yeah, there was somebody who started this little rumor, not the sticky label, batch one, batch two. Somebody just started this basically saying, you know, batch two is higher on the maple side and batch one is higher on the coffee side. And that somebody basically was just drain pouring a CBS, which I feel like they just went to the store. They actually drank the CBS and just filled the damn thing with soy sauce and dumped it as if they were actually dumping CBS.
Or as Guinness, yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
I can't say that I have not seen that before because I saw years ago someone do that where they emptied out a Bourbon County and put vanilla Java Porter in there and then recapped it and then did an uncut video where they uncapped it, poured it, like literally without doing anything.
Oh, that's amazing.
They just uncapped it. So somebody like the person came clean about it and it was like I found it hysterical and like – I understand what you did was hilarious.
How dare they do that with a vanilla Java porter?
And I mean, that's very possible because I mean, I would think the majority, or not necessarily the majority, but at least most of the beer drinkers are home brewers, and they've have a simple capping tool to be able to do something like that.
I think I saw another video this week where somebody put water in a CBS and then they wrote,
yes,
this wasn't very good, and then they drain poured it, but it was obviously that it was water coming out to mock the people who they feel weren't drain pouring CBS, but some other beer like Ken was talking about.
I just don't get the whole drain pour situation.
Neither do I.
There are times where I understand in regards to, like, the Bourbon County coffee that was really sour.
We didn't even
drain
pour that.
No, we did not. I've drain poured, I think, one beer in my entire life, and I can't even tell you what one it was. Like, that's, I just drink it.
Only drain pouring I've done is, like, when I've drank it, and, like, next morning there's, like, 3/4 of a can left over that I didn't finish. That gets drained.
I've done that.
I've done that plenty of times. Like,
or, like, I've gone to, like, go do something, and I wound up going to sleep forgetting I still have a half a beer left.
That happens.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. But as we're kind of talking about beer, you know, we're 26 months into this damn podcast.
Struggling podcast.
They're crushing us.
Only getting Bell's Brewing asking us about,
how did it taste with that cereal and the French press?
I tell you what, the cinnamon, adding cinnamon to a lot of things is great. Dan might not agree, but.
Well, for obvious reasons, but.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the taste of cinnamon, so whenever I have, like, when we remake, I think we're going to do another batch of Ultraviolet, and we're going to remake it, and...
Ultraviolet Sins?
Sure. I see what you did there. Yeah, we're going to do a cinnamon variant after the fact.
A cinnamon alt?
Like, oh, gosh.
I think the cinnamon will take...
Let's expand the horizons, okay? All right, make that, but you got to make something else at this point.
I'll make other things, but...
Anyway, 26 weeks.
26
months. 26 months. 26 months into this struggling podcast.
It's like triplets.
It's like triplets.
Come on.
So we've been doing the show 26 months. Have you guys, what has changed in your mind in regards to the craft beer industry? Obviously, we've engulfed ourselves a lot more than we used to be in regards to either just being drinkers, being fanboys, being in the industry itself. Like, within the industry, what has changed in your perception, whether it be other craft beer fans, craft beer itself, the people who make the beer that, you know, we've gotten to meet so many people on all aspects of the breweries, be it sales, marketing, owner, brewer, et cetera, cheerleader, like Mrs. Downey.
Yes.
Right.
What have you guys learned or taken away from these last 26 months, less than 26 for some of you?
So for me personally, it's just the backgrounds of everyone that we've met. I mean, granted that they all have their own, like, unique story and all. I mean, they all, you know, had this idea, hey, let's try and do something with beer. Mm-hmm. Literally coming from nothing and trying to turn it into a positive. And just hearing those kinds of stories is the one thing that I really appreciate about all these guys that come in and kind of share that, you know, that 5-minute, like, summary of, like, how they got their start. That's the biggest takeaway for me, is hearing those kinds of guys.
Expanding on that, I no longer think necessity is the mother of invention, but boredom is, because most of these people have a story about them hating their work life, so they enjoy homebrewing, so they did this. I've kind of thought that there seems to be an internal struggle in breweries that they have this concept of they always want something new, something fresh, something hip on tap, but as they gain a following, they have to keep what's familiar because that's what they always go back to. So, like, I was at Baffin this week. They didn't have any Mango Unchained on because they just ran out. But that's, like, 80% of their business is that beer. So what do you do when your number one beer is gone? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was at Eastern Market this week as well. And they're running through all these new beers, trying out new recipes. They don't have necessarily a flagship yet, but that seems to be the thing that every brewery wants to always have something new, something hip. But how do they balance that with placating their fans who go in to have their beer that they've grown to love at that brewery?
I think it's looking into Sellerman's, which is probably the last brewery that I went to. And between, like, if I went into Sellerman's and they didn't have either Moscow Miel or Saigon Sin, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Like, their other meads, their other ciders, their beers are good, but to me, those are the two flagships for them. Those are the beers that sell. Those are the beers that I think can get everyone into their brewery, meadery, cidery, whatever they want to call them. Sure. Satanic Hipster Club, I think someone called it earlier in the week.
They are the punk rockers of craft beer.
to say.
I don't know if you saw it, but somebody posted on one of like the beer forums, and I got back to all the Sellermans guys. Like, has anybody ever been in a Sellermans? It's like a satanic hipster cult in there.
But I don't think that they would mind that.
No, they don't.
They would probably
they would embrace it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably what their mug club's going to be called.
They're like how did they find out?
They're like, how did we not think of that marketing opportunity?
What about you, Rob? I mean, you were when we had met, we met through DACBY.
Yeah.
Obviously we had our own little rivalry because of our pub trivia-ness.
Right.
But, you
thank
know,
God that's not brought up every 5 minutes anymore.
I figured out how to do a bingo card.
Hey, it's relevant right now.
No. Oh, all right. Right now it is. But no.
Put your quizzle away, right. Rob.
Whatever. Sporkle Life for Life, bastard.
Sporkle. All right, here we go.
Here we go, man.
Ding, ding.
So what about you, though? What has changed in your perspective in the last, you know, year and a half, probably almost 2 years?
Really, what's probably changed with me is just that I like basically what Nick and Matt have said about, you know, these people who've had these stories coming from nothing and just making beer, that it's kind of given me, you know, a bit of confidence in actually thinking I could make beer myself. And even if it's just making it at home. It doesn't even have to get out of the garage. It can be a couple buddies. It doesn't even have to grow into any type of square foot space where I start selling it. Just that thought that this is not a very hard thing to, you know, make your own beer and make something that you like, just as long as you keep shit clean. But, I mean, other than that, just really, you know, a lot of things I think have changed. I've seen just in terms of flavor profile, it just feels like you can just throw anything in a beer. If you can make sense out of it and actually make it taste good, you know, people are going to go for it.
Yeah.
And it even goes back to, you know, that year and a half ago when I first ran into Right Brain's Mangalitsa Pig Porter. I was like, I would have never thought that anybody would ever take a porter and just have it sit with smoked pig heads. And, you know,
is that
for
the
me,
Scrapple one? I don't mean
yes. No, the Scrapple one, one is Dogfish Head's beer for breakfast or something.
These
like
are
that.
Both bad. Never mind.
But
I actually
enjoyed the Mangalitsa. And I was very surprised by it because I kept thinking to myself, who even thinks to just smoke a pig head? And it's like, you know what? We're just going to throw it in a vat. And see what happens.
Yeah. to kind of add to
see what happens here.
You know what? To kind of add to Rob's point a little bit about flavor profile, I remember the very first time that I went to Dragonmead, and that was probably like the first like the introduction to craft beer for me. And they had the Ring of Fire beer, you know, with the hot peppers in it. I thought that was crazy at the time. Now it's like it's almost. I wouldn't say expected.
It's almost like barrel aging. But, it's like you expect everything to be barrel aged.
Exactly.
You almost expect everything to have the
exactly.
peppers.
Exactly.
Well, I know what you're talking about because I remember the beers with like the jalapenos and like, oh, that's crazy. And then we're drinking a year and a half later beer with ghost
pepper.
We.
Ghost peppers.
No, because
you
and I were
like Reapers.
The Carolina Reaper beers. I was bringing habanero sculpin on a
the freaking
basis.
Sriracha cider.
Yeah,
and
stuff like that.
But I think that was a 2016 trend was getting big barrels. Barrel aged beer. I think 2017 the trend went back towards more approachable beers.
Like I think towards went to the IPA.
Towards the end of the year, you know, towards the end of the year in 16, people were talking about Kolsch's and Gozas, and then somehow it got totally left turned with these juicy IPAs.
Yeah,
and I think we're kind of like these big brewers that want to put something into a bourbon barrel. They realize that they need to do something that's more efficient. Something that's more approachable to get people in their doors than having these big 14% scotch bombs.
I mean, I don't know.
That you guys don't like them, but.
I don't know anything more approachable than a bourbon barrel aged Sumatra Mountain.
Dude, I sit in 120 degree weather and drink those.
I would never drink it. unless you're going to cut my bourbon with a Coke or something like that, I'm not going to drink it. So unless you can do bourbon barrel.
We have a new
Coke,
idea. Can we mix Coke and
cut it up?
Oh, no.
Didn't Jack Daniels at one point come out with the premix Jack and Coke?
Like no, they came out with like a gift set with. They had a holiday gift set with a fifth of Jack and a 2 liter of Coke and a glass.
Well, they used to sell pre-mixed. This is ages ago. This is like 10 plus years ago.
Like FMBs?
Where they sold like pre-mixed, like maybe it was like flavored stuff, yeah, like and already mixed, like in a big
like
bottle.
A Mike's or something.
It's like antifreeze. I don't want my shit pre-mixed. I'm losing out of half the antifreeze.
It was pretty good. Just give me. I will tell you that. So I wouldn't drink it in 2017.
I'm looking at it right now, and there used to be a Jack Daniels and cola wine cooler, FMB or whatever you want to call it.
Is it Bartles and James?
thank you for your support.
So these were 12-ounce bottles of Jack Daniels and
Bartles.
Cola. Bartles.
If you've ever worked in the beer industry, the guys at the party store are like, give me a bottle of this and a bottle of that.
It's because they're already drunk.
No, because they can't. English is a third language.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and there are canned versions of it too. So,
oh, wow.
They just, I was like, I wasn't making this up. I'm pretty sure I saw this.
They had a TGI Fridays. Mike's paired up with TGI Fridays and did a Long Island iced tea in a can. And that was really good, but they just discontinued it.
Fridays, wow, that's not a bad
14%, 16 ounce.
You know people are buying that. Yeah.
Well, they like I said, they just discontinued it because it was, I don't know why, but.
Well, not to be confused with the dollar Long Island over at Applebee's you can go get.
Oh, the Dollarita?
That's why Applebee's
that
doesn't
last
exist.
Month. The Dollarita laugh.
I'm confident that the dollar Long Island is why there's no longer a Applebee's at Eastland Mall.
Out of all the malls.
Like, that's the one thing.
That's what killed the
Eastland Mall Applebee's.
That's what killed it.
Wow. He's the final straw. Yeah.
Jeez.
It wasn't the fact that it was at Eastland Mall. It was the fact that they had dollar.
First off, there are legitimately 3 barbershops in Eastland Mall.
I can attest to that.
There are at least 4, potentially 6 jersey/footwear stores in there.
Yep.
And there are 6 to 10 customized shirt/engraving /
the personalized then, gift thing.
And there's about 4 beauty supply stores.
Yeah, so that place is thriving. It's just the Macy's is gone.
Well, it's funny you mention that because Target is closing at Eastland in February.
So now Eastland's gone.
So there's
that.
Foreman Mills is moving in March.
that's how Northland went down. They lost Target. Mills? Northland.
Yeah,
is
all the big box stores are going to be gone after February.
Well, there's still a Home Depot and a Lowe's right there.
But that's not part of the mall, though.
Right.
They got the Burlington Coat Factory.
They're more than just coats.
Getting everyone a coat for Christmas.
They also have
Damn, they're more than just coats.
Shoppers,
it's
right?
In their slogan.
It's a matter of time before Eastland.
You know, I'd really like to see someone buy Eastland and turn it into like an adult. Like, just could you imagine the second floor or the like part of it just being a full on go kart track?
I would rather than just tear down the mall and just make it into a big industrial zone, personally.
An industrial zone?
What?
Like a factory on 8 Mile?
Is this going to be like the new Zug Island?
Not quite like you.
No, turn it into like a folding warehouse. Just an adult playroom.
No one in Detroit's going to play. Well, in Hamtramck.
Thank you.
Have you played folding, Rob?
Yeah, that shit. I've been there at least 4 or 5 times. I'm going back there on Sunday.
I was going to say, you got the folding warehouse and then you got Cashew.
Yeah.
Which has feather pin bowling.
Yeah, feather bowling.
Yeah. Go to.
I would love to see
extremely
that.
Belgian, by the way.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. Very.
I know.
I'd love to see that place turn into
like
an indoor go kart track or like indoor like paintball or laser tag.
Well, being a former resident of Harper Woods, to keep the tax dollars there, and this is the only time I'm going to go political, I say industrial just so you can get tax dollars to stay there. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
Industrial in terms of what? Just like.
Do like light industrial, you know?
Have Ford come in or something like that?
No, no, no. Dude, if you go to
Ford's
like,
going into Corktown.
If you go into you got that, I forgot what it was. But if you go to like Shelby Township, for example, you have
those
a bunch of
stuff.
Like second tier suppliers, you know, doing like welding machines for the big 3 right now. And they got all these, you know, testing firms and all that.
Yeah.
Make it something like that. You don't have to have industry in area like that.
New home for Amazon.
There we go.
There you go.
Hey, new jail site. Fail jail right there.
Fail jail.
Wait,
can't
they put the MLS stadium there?
That'd be awesome.
I'm sure there's enough space there. You got at least one major road that goes through there.
94.
I know, yeah, 94 and
Nick will love it. I know Nick loves soccer.
The Detroit Football Club.
Detroit Football United.
It sounded too much like Detroit City Football Club.
No, just do the CDFC, the City of Detroit Football Club.
they'll get the C&D on that one.
What about the Detroit Spirit? Well, they have to spend $25,000 to put on their jerseys, too.
Yeah, well, they'll have to fight with the Saginaw Spirit.
Oh, is that a team?
Yeah.
Wait, are we talking? We're not talking pro level teams. I'd like to see.
No, the Saginaw Spirit is an OHL hockey team.
No, yeah, it's the WHL.
OHL. Is it WHL? Is it?
Yeah, it's one of those not real HLs.
Not real. OHL is
full
HL.
Well, they probably are a lot better than those Red Wings right now. We'll put it that way.
How about those Golden Knights? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Army?
No, Golden Knights?
Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas.
Vegas. No, they're kicking everyone's ass. Like,
I don't know if you know, but there's a hockey team in Vegas.
I know.
Okay, I'm just
But the Golden Knights, isn't it Army's football?
Oh, the Black Knights.
Black Knights. Oh.
Yeah. So, Dan, what about you?
Oh, I forgot what we were talking about after yelling about Harper Woods and Major League Soccer.
Yeah, it's the most radio time Harper Woods has gotten in the last 6 years.
Yeah,
even though
that city, industrial zones and shit like that.
Has Brent Steep and a failed mop. That's all left in Harper Woods. So what?
Wow, derailed. Anyway,
yeah. So what really? I actually had a thought. Now I have to try and gather back up here. But what had caught my attention is I am still shocked to this day that the brewers and the people that run the breweries, everything like that, are not the stuck-up pieces of shit. Sorry, Rob, this isn't directly specifically at you. Are the people that buy the beer and are such big snobs that they ruin everything to the point that I hated everything about it at one point. And they're like the complete opposite, the people that actually do it. And I'm like, wow, why do you put up with these assholes like that act like this and try to tell you how to do everything? It like blew my mind from like day one.
Sure.
I didn't even think of that. But yeah, that's definitely playing on both ends, obviously getting, you know, in-depth talk. Because, again, you could talk, and we've probably all known a brewer at one point or another personal. But with the amount of people that we've talked to, and again, from all aspects of the entire industry, we have learned so much and how they do put up with that shit in regards to people who think that they know their job better than them, or they know if it's a good beer or not, or, you know, they're the ones that just shit, like just shit on everything that a brewer does.
And I expected the brewers to be that way too, like, or like hating each other. Like, cause you know how the whole, I hate going back to Rob cause you've been in that scene. So you know what a lot of them are like. Mm-hmm. And I expected every brewer to be like that. Like I expected that was the whole industry. I'm like, oh, well this is fucking bullshit.
Well, I think what we've learned, especially going to all the festivals, is the camaraderie from most of the brewers too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much they help each other out.
Yeah.
There was at one point, I recall one of the last, not the up north one, but one of the last of the Brewers Guild festivals, a brewer didn't make it, and another brewer brought guest taps in and filled them up to allow that other brewer to come on in. So I don't know which one it was. I don't want to be wrong or anything like that.
It was the UB Beer Fest.
It might have been the UB
Beer Fest. I don't remember
that.
Wasn't it Vandermost? So it might have been.
What's that?
Didn't Blake's or Vandermost take over somebody's taps like that?
Something like that. I don't recall who, the what, the where, but I just know that they were able to bring in other people's taps, you know, brought in beer from another brewer to be on tap at their brewery. So that's the one thing that I really enjoy is the camaraderie, and I think they've accepted us a lot more within the industry itself because we're not, again, those stuck-up people. We're here to promote the business. We're here to talk the business. We're here to
tell them their business sucks.
Well, no. No. That's the complete opposite of
that. Oh, sit around. We're
there's
not a bunch of crap beer
I'll
Yeezuses.
Say that about, but yeah.
There's CBY fly zone.
But that's the thing, though, is I think I can be honest with a lot of these brewers because, one, they're not going to take my opinion too lightly, but, two, they'll take my opinion to where, okay, this is how you feel, and you're being honest and not snobbish. Like when Travis
Double Dwarf. Exactly.
And I'm like, this is god-awful. And he's like, well, you know, it's classified as an alt beer, but it's not an alt beer. And once that he said that, I'm like, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense because I just don't like the flavor. I don't like what you've presented to me. And I like most alt beers. Old 22, I don't like the new variation of it that came out from ABC. That's not good. But again, just because I don't like a brewer, don't like a brewery, you know, most of us, minus Dan, on these forums, the second you mention Atwater, the shit show that happens after.
Oh, God, yes. Damn. I know.
But that's like, the same exact thing that happens on a lot of these. If you mention Goose Island.
Right.
Or you mention Elysian. Or you mention Ballast Point. And these brewers get attacked and just destroyed. And I mean, we've had brewers come on here and be like, you know, hey, this really hurts. Why are you attacking us on almost to a personal level?
Right.
Some of them on a personal level. Like, if you don't like the beer, great. Say you don't like it and move on with your goddamn life.
Well, right. Here's where I learned the phrase shat water. When they came in, like, I'd never heard that. I'm like, what the fuck? Who's doing that?
I mean, if it wasn't for, like, in my mind, and this is completely my opinion, if it wasn't for brewers like Atwater, if for someone like me, I probably would never have even gotten into as in-depth as I am into the craft beer industry. That's just my personal
opinion. I would say
opinion,
most
though.
Brewers would say the same thing.
Yeah, because Atwater was probably one of the first. In Detroit.
Like in the area.
In the area that really started making a name for themselves. And, you know, now it's just like, you know, they've kind of rebranded themselves, the labeling a little bit and everything. They've, you know, gone a different route. But the beer's still good.
I mean, apparently it still is for them to open up a brewery in Texas.
Yeah. You know what? It's business, people. Right. Come over yourselves, you know? Yes, they're trying to put out a good product and try to make you happy, but at the same time, they're trying to make themselves happy and try and expand the business. That's what a business is.
Right. But apparently that's not, you know, that there's those the loyal fans that, you know, they sit back and they look at, you know, things like I really wouldn't say, you know, okay. Arbor Brewing Company, but, you know.
Okay. No. So I'm going to go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, finish.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, you see those breweries, those ones that have those loyal fans, like, you know, like Wicked Weed.
Sure.
Where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they get bought out by ABI and they say, you know, this is a business. We're still making the same beer. We still have, you know, essentially the same control. Mm-hmm. But it's the moment you turn to the dark side that it's, you know, it's nothing but a bunch of fuck yous and we're done with you.
So is there really loyal fans in craft beer? Because
No,
they're really, you're right, there really isn't. Because if you follow, and I hate picking on the boards, but whatever. You pick on the boards and you look at the
people.
They
deserve it.
Yeah, sure, why not? You know, they'll love like one brewery and love everything that they do. And then the next day, it's like black and white. Night is dark, day and night. It's like, you know.
You're only as loyal as your untapped profile.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You know what I
mean? Because if you want to get those 1,000 unique pours or that 5,000 unique pour, you can't sit at the same place forever.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I mean, unless you're either at, you know, Eastern Market, which, you know, they're coming up with, you know, a whole bunch of different things. They don't really have, like, Ken said, they don't have a flagship yet. Or like Brewery Becker, who just, you know, they just do one-offs all the time.
Yeah.
And shit, you just sit in there. It's going to take you your lifetime plus three in order to even be able to pull
drink
off
drink all those flavor profiles.
Yeah, but then you could go to North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan.
Bam!
And you can play shuffleboard in their shuffleboard league.
You're welcome for that softball.
I was debating between them, and I was just like, which one do I want? And I went with North Center. So they got their shuffleboard league. They got Sparkle every Wednesday night, I believe.
With Antonio.
Yep.
So, oh, not with Rob?
Not with Rob.
No, I don't know if they're.
No, Rob's over at other places.
Yes.
Doing
Rob's
other
doing
things.
Bigger things.
Like Eastern Market Brewing Company.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, he was over at, me and Matt got our asses kicked there.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had my shit pushed in that hard at a true event.
That was rough.
I don't think I've ever had anyone play that was so upset about the questions.
Dude, those questions were bad. Like, those questions were god awful.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but did you write those, Rob?
I actually would have to look at the set. We'll see exactly how many, if there are any in there that were mine.
I think you wrote one of them. I remember you admitting to writing one of them.
Because everybody got it wrong. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a bad question. If everyone gets the answer wrong, then it's a bad question.
If everybody gets it wrong, I'm actually proud of myself.
That's, you know, I never was good at pub trivia anyways. That's why I hosted. But there is, and I do want to do a little self-promotion because I am doing a 6 contract over at One-Eyed Betty's for Quizzo. And I don't know if you guys saw, but it's going to be a Bell's Christmas. It's a Christmas movie trivia with a Bell's draft takeover.
Is it the Christmas movie or all Christmas movies?
All Christmas movies. So more
with
than
or without Die Hard.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the
question. That's a good question.
But if you're looking at the list, they've got 30th anniversary, Black Note. I'm trying to think of what else that I see.
Is there going to be CTC with that Black Note?
No. I'm sure we Harry, can pick that up. Harry McGill's Spice Stout. There's a lot of beers that I never even heard of that's on this list. It's a lot of chocolatey, a lot of stouty beers. So check that out. That's going to be on December 21st, so next Thursday over at One-Eyed Betty's. I believe the tapping starts at 6 o'clock and the trivia starts at 8:30. So
people can enjoy Friday.
And then enjoy Friday. Well, hopefully you might have Friday off and take a nice long weekend, like a 3 or 4. It'll be a 4-day weekend.
Oh, actually, yeah. Most people actually probably have Friday off because of Christmas Eve.
Oh, Friday. I took Thursday and Friday.
You know, observed, yeah.
Yes. I don't get Christmas Eve as an observed holiday. I get Christmas, though.
Is it Christmas Eve Sunday, though, this year?
Christmas Eve is Sunday.
So a lot of people are getting Friday off because of it.
Because it's observed.
Because Monday, yeah.
I get Tuesday. I don't get the Friday. I get the Tuesday.
Really? Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, I'll take the Tuesday first.
25th, 26th, yeah. That's not a bad...
Yeah, I'd rather take the Tuesday rather than the Friday.
Am I new to this? Do they just start observing these holidays, or has this always been...
Every company I've worked with.
No, so if it falls on a weekend,
I've just never seen something like that.
It's very weird because we actually had it last year where the 4th of July was on a Tuesday, so they observed Monday as well.
Well, that's just nice.
It just means it's inconvenient to bring everybody to work, stop everything, come back to work.
I'm not going to tell you what happened to me with that 4th of July this year. Like, bad stuff.
But, yeah, they did not do that this year. So it's basically everything is just from Christmas until New Year. So we'll
tell you my holiday schedule. Nothing till the end of the year.
Nothing.
Well, you make your own schedule.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I've decided to not make it for the next few days.
I was going to take the week after the New Year, the first week of the New Year off, but instead I'm moving that all the way to the end of February to take
my
vacation.
I'm more of the week between Christmas and New Year's kind of take that off.
So I have, within my little area, there's three of us, and both of them have kids.
Ooh.
So I give that to them because it allows me, like, I can take a lot of the adult type oriented family, like adult holidays off, like St. Patrick's Day St. Patrick's Day, the day before Thanksgiving, Cinco de Mayo.
That's a holiday. Are you Mexican? Wait a minute.
I don't think Mexicans celebrate Cinco de Mayo, Dan.
The Spanish do.
But that's the thing is I celebrate the more. Well, I don't even take days off. Like, I did not take May Day off. Bastille Day. Love the Bastilles. No.
Even my birthday, I take May Day off because, you know, communism.
Like, I don't even take my birthday off. Like, my birthday, I worked this year. So it doesn't.
Opening day?
No. I've worked opening day.
Oh.
What, hunting season or
no,
opening?
Baseball.
Baseball.
Oh.
This will be my first opening day that I'm taking.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think for you would have been, like, to every opening day since you were, like,
I would have
five.
Liked to be, yeah, but, you know, in the beer biz, you work every day.
That's true. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to reset. Once I get there, we'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are live. We are back with episode 112 of the Better on Draft Podcast. My name is Ken. Our studio is mostly full. It's kind of like a Saturday here. It's for the boys. No Angela, no guests. But it's going to be a fun little show. I do have, and I'm trying to make sure I get it on the camera over here, but I do have a nice can, which I guess I could do that, a Hop Slam.
Nice.
2016 Hop Slam. So this can, 2016, I'm trying to see
almost
if I can find a brewed date. Packaged, looks like January 2016. Yeah, there we go.
Yep. There you go.
So... we'll be cracking that open today. But as always, when we have segment two, and not everyone yelling above it, we have...
Here is Robert with the beer news.
Everyone's quiet after I said
that. I was about to yell. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well done. All right, let's go through a couple of these things here. Apparently, we hit a milestone in the U.S. Beer market as we've now hit 6,000 breweries.
Jesus.
My God.
Yeah,
there's a bubble coming.
Well, I'm kind of getting to that, too. According to the Brewers Association, 98% of those beer companies are considered small and independent. Beer chief economist Bart Wilson said that despite the slower pace of these breweries that are showing up, craft beer continues to thrive. One of the things to note, California continuing its hold as being number one at the number one brewery destination with 900 operating in the state. I guess for perspective, and they had this in the article, that according to the California Brewers Association, 92% of the state's population lives within 10 miles of a brewery. It's kind of starting to get close to, you know, every three blocks you'll find a McDonald's.
Every three blocks you'll find a brewery.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain.
Support walking instead of drinking.
I mean, obviously we do. We talk about that bubble and, you know, not treat it as an if but a when. But, you know, how much longer is this going to keep going?
Well, we've talked about that bubble, too, turning into where it's the local thing, which is what it sounds turning into. Not everyone distributing nationwide. And that's kind of, especially the case of California with 900 breweries. Said,
they do have like 30 million people in it there. So
yeah, it's
I mean,
like the most 35.2, I think, is what it far. Is.
So
yeah.
What is it per capita though? What's the do you know where California is
that,
per capita?
I'm not sure what it is per capita. I mean, it's still probably not even close to like
Vermont.
Vermont.
We have an industry where the brewers itself, like, I still believe it's those mid-tier breweries that are going to be the ones that fail, the ones that attempt to go into market that are not going to work in regards to major can distribution. I think keg distribution, a lot of breweries are going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking a lot of the smaller brewers and, you know, as much as we consider them big brewers here, Old Nation, New Holland, Atwater, these are the breweries that are in danger when the bubble bursts. Right. I think the big ones are going to be fine, but the little ones that are fighting for already the small shelf space.
There you go.
Those tongue twisters.
Yeah.
Small shelf space. They're already fighting for it, whereas the big ones get it because either they have the money, they have the capabilities through distro, at least within the state of Michigan. Using the three-tier system, they can – a lot of these bigger breweries can control them. That's why a lot of smaller breweries take that money. That's why Avery took 30% from San Miguel.
Right.
I don't know. I think that your small watering holes are going to remain.
I agree.
And
the
I,
local ones, like I was mentioning, yeah. Those like, are going to be the ones that stick around.
I guess I agree with your take on potential like an Old Nation, but not because of they're a mid-tier – but because of where they're located. Like, where I go, I spend most of my beer money at Baffin because it's literally a mile and a half away from my house. I can get dinner there. I can sit there and hang out, and I can go home. You know, I would probably do the same thing with Jamex if it was a little bit more common or Shipwreck because it's right there. So, like, St. Clair Shores, where I'm at, has the population to support that area. I don't think if you go to Williamston, Michigan, off Grand River, you're going to be able to draw all that traffic. So I think it's more of a locational situation. And I don't think the breweries that are within 10 miles are going to survive. I think it's going to be the 1 to 2 to 3 mile breweries. Just like, you know, you go to your local supermarket, your barber, you know, the things you do in your community, I think going to that brewery is become part of that American, you know, tapestry, if you will.
I mean, plus it's California. Now, how long it takes to get 10 miles down the road?
That's true.
Well, my problem.
Well, right now it's damn near impossible to get 10 miles down the road.
Well, not if you're a fire.
Well, yeah.
Well, not if.
That's damn.
Not, that's kind of what I was referring to, but you just
that's mutable.
Yeah. I was about to say that's cold, but that's pretty hot.
Oh,
burn!
Oh, damn, both of y'all.
I just think if breweries just have kind of become part of the community, you know,
yes.
It's a place to go.
Yes.
You know, they've reestablished their place as the public house. They're no longer placed.
Yeah.
You're not going across town to go to a brewery. You're going to the local watering hole, just like you would go to your local right. Elks or Ambets or Moose Lodge.
Like a lot of these breweries are starting to have events in the community, you know, like your Liberty Street, like North Center. You know, they hold, you know, regular events for, you know, the locals there, you know. So,
but look at what happens, and I'm going to use a cheap way to go through this, but Brown Iron Brewhouse
at 26
and Van Dyke. There's nothing there. but no, they not. Survive because they have a huge community. There's a lot of people that live around there. It's the closest brewery to a lot of people. And they also do a lot more than just their own beer, as well as a full food program. There's no reason to not go there.
I disagree with you that there's nothing there. There's a major exit right there that people who live within 2 miles have to go past Brown Iron. So while it is kind of a brewery desert, there's a lot of traffic right there on Van Dyke.
Well, again,
but it doesn't have any competitors, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic, a lot of population, and nothing around it.
Yeah, as far as you mean like craft beer-wise?
Yeah, craft beer bar. You're not getting to anything until you at least hit either – like you have to go in any direction to start seeing stuff. You either need to go south towards M59. You need to go east towards Jefferson, Gratiot.
Go north towards Armada where Blake's is. That might be a little too far north before you hit something. Yikes. But
there really isn't anything west.
Waterford is
20
Lennox.
Because that could
26. Yeah, there's nothing 26. You're talking
you're getting
like
into
Oakland City,
Rochester Township,
no,
and then Romeo.
Rochester is south of 26.
Isn't that like Tinkin? Isn't that like right where that's like Bar Louie is right there?
I think
at Rochester Tap House. It's where Rochester Tap Room is. If you is direct, is like 5 minutes directly. But we digress. I think it's an underserved area, and it's a brave perfect place to put a 70 tap place. Plus, the food's really good too.
You know, we're doing something over there.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. What do you mean?
We're throwing a party.
It's a celebration.
A victory party over at Brown Iron Brew House. It's going to be on January 3rd, starting at 6 o'clock, so it is a Wednesday. And Uber does go out there, and that's a great suggestion.
I still don't believe it.
Because we, as Better on Draft, are going to be buying 2 kegs of beer.
Yep.
We're going to be buying a half barrel of Boss Tweed.
You're welcome.
From Old Nation, second place. And your winner of the New England Showdown, Wicked Smart, from Baffin.
Are you going to ask me to drive it from Baffin all the way to Brown Iron?
Yeah, I mean, you're closest.
No, they have their own, they have Distro and Macomb, so they go through.
God.
What's great, and this is what I hate about, three-tier system. As much as I like it, because I think there's a lot of good into it, Baffin has to sell a keg of their beer to the distro to then have Pat O'Brien's buy it 2 doors down. Like, and they have to like take the keg from Baffin to the distro house, and that they can't even just like cart it over like with a distro person.
They should just get really long lines and just put it right into their system.
I can only imagine how many things you have to do illegal to do that.
I mean, it's only illegal if you get caught, right?
I mean, you're crossing you're crossing four parcels just to get to
two.
Oh, I was including
Baffin, coffee shop,
the barber shop, and Pat O'Brien. Yeah. That's four.
Hey, okay. You can set up a tap at the barber shop too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not?
The coffee shop.
Yeah.
The coffee shop closes at noon, anyways.
Wait, what?
The coffee shop closes at noon over there?
Yeah, noon, maybe 2 o'clock.
What's this Macomb County shit?
Coffee afternoon.
I do.
This Macomb County stuff, man.
I mean,
Macomb County shit.
I know breakfast places that close early, but I didn't think that was a breakfast place.
It's not. It's just scones and coffee.
Oh,
that's
annoying.
But you know what? It is rocket fuel for your bum.
Think about if Starbucks closed at noon. Be like, sorry, guys, we're closed.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No, Starbucks survives on college kids who need to get away from everything to show up there with their laptop.
Oh, with the free Wi-Fi.
And basic bitches.
Right.
Basic bitches.
Yeah.
So I went on. I was literally at 59 and Heidenreich over at the Starbucks that's over there. And that's literally, it was me and all white women. That's all it was.
I'm surprised. Like, why are you there for one? Like, what are you doing in that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Were they all in their Han Solo outfits?
This was prior to the Han Solo season.
Okay.
So it was still a little warm outside. Like, maybe a light hoodie at most. Like, they didn't need the Han Solo outfit with
the full
boots
vest and the tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So I still think, though, that the mid-sized brewer is going to be the one that goes. And I've said this and I've said it again. I think those are the ones that are going to be more apt to be bought out, too. I think a lot of people will purchase those brewers because they'll need to. I think the shelf space is going to get smaller and smaller because I also think that the shelf space is going to start getting cramped with not only beer, but wine and liquor. I think wine and liquor are going to start encroaching on that shelf space. I don't think you want to carry that much on your shelves. I don't think it's going to lose like the physical shelf
different
space.
Different markets, though.
Not at all. Not at all. Beer is losing market share to liquor right now.
It's really? Losing market share, yes. However, you're not going to market your beer in your party store like you would your liquor. You put your liquor behind you so people can't just walk out with it. You put your beer on the floor so people can bring it to you to check out.
It depends on the liquor store. If you go to Zatuna Liquor, you can get liquor off the shelf.
Yeah, but not a lot of places do that.
I bet their high-end liquor isn't on the floor.
No, their high-end liquor is not on the floor. You're talking your Tito's and your...
Not every place is going to be like the party source.
Or your low-end... It's their mid-tier liquor, and it's a lot of their local liquor is on the floor. Whereas the non-local liquor, your Burnett's, your 5 O'Clock, your Heaven Hill, the garbage, the mid-tier, the high-tier, the Goose Island, Grey Goose.
Island.
The Kettle One.
Russian Standard, Kettle One, Tito's. All these are going to be behind, but the local ones are going to be in the shelves itself. Right. But again, every liquor store is set up different, and most are not like Zatuna Liquors is, but...
Is that Zatuna Liquors? Is that a Michigan thing?
Zatuna Liquors.
Like Ford's.
He meant it possessive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I meant it as possessive as opposed to.
Oh, I'm like, Zatuna Liquors over there.
But I mean, there is two Zatuna Liquors.
You know what I was talking about.
Zatuna Liquors are? What's the proper? We don't have any English. Well, we have an English major. You're the damn English major here.
The damn Zatuna Liquors, like he was like the Kroger's, like the Myers. Like, oh, is that where we're going? Ford's.
The North Centers.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
All right. Also noted in that same article, the Take Craft Back campaign closes out as of today. For those who don't remember, this was the campaign that was started by the Brewers Association to essentially crowdfund $213 billion to buy ABI.
And how'd that go?
That basically went very light because in all almost 12,000 contributors to the fund, it only reached $3.3 million.
How much do we need, like, $50 billion to buy this?
That's if the stock market hasn't changed.
Right. So does that money go back to the crowd?
Yes. They basically
how many bitcoins is that? Is that all the bitcoins?
I mean, that's...
No, that's like... 100 Bitcoin.
That's a few Bitcoin, but basically they had already said it themselves was that they were not going to take the money unless they actually hit the $213 billion. So
but you
that,
didn't even have to do anything for you didn't have to put a credit card down or anything like that.
I don't think so.
Here's the money, fam.
No, I think generally for those crowdfunding campaigns, you just commit to saying that you're going to give this much, and then if they hit the goal. Then they will send you an email saying, okay, they hit the goal. We're ready for your credit card information and things like that.
But I guess, I mean, here's the question. While we know it didn't hit the goal, do you think in the BA's mind that this campaign succeeded in anything?
Not at all.
No.
Anything at all?
I think
so. I forgot about
it. In regards to $3.3 million, you have to you're looking at what 3,300 people for $1,000 a piece. It says 12,000 people. Okay, sure, why not? But again, I don't know why they didn't just say $1,000 each person when you're not giving away the money, and you're not legally obligated to give it anyways because there is no contract that you said I'll pledge it, but I'm not gonna do it. And they're not going to come after you for the money because it's going to cost them more money to come after you for the money. So in the end, it was great marketing material.
Initially. Then it went like a really long inside joke.
Yeah. I didn't get it. Like, I just don't – I did not – I don't know why. Like, it just didn't
– You didn't care for it.
I guess that's more of a truer thing. Like, I just did not care for it. You look at actual physical campaigns for things, and as much as this is a joke where – so look at DACB, which is our local group. There's 4,000 people in DACB.
Right.
You look at actual fundraising tools, and you look at – and I ran on GoFundMe just to see, and there are people like, all right, the Pulse shooting raised $8 million, actual physical funds. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't raise $8 million fake funds. Like, that's That's the thing, is you can't raise fake funds and nothing. You know, they weren't going to get to the $213 billion.
No, yeah. No, but I mean, I guess I had expectations that they would have got, they would have at least gotten to, hell, even just gotten to 20 million. I mean, even 5% of that number.
Even if every single person that fake contributed did $1,000, they would have only had $12 million.
I think it goes to the niche that still is craft beer. Like, there are still too many Busch Light, Bud Light, Miller Light people out there that just want their, you know, their Joe Six Pack. They don't care about the double box and the barrel aged Imperial Session Stouts.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, this is still a niche industry, still that people enjoy. But I mean, I enjoy craft beer, but I don't take that seriously at all. I mean, if craft beer went away tomorrow and I had to drink Miller Light or Coors Light, you know, that would kind of suck, but I'd get over it pretty quick.
You still sleep at night.
Yeah, it's not like,
right.
You know.
I'd go back to Killian's.
There you go. Like,
or
Guinness. Newcastle.
Newcastle,
PBR, Coors Light.
I mean, it's a great thing.
High Life,
you remember
64.
Remember when everyone was buying, like in the early 2000s, when everyone was buying cases of poker chips?
Yes.
When was the last time you saw someone carrying a case of poker chips?
Yeah,
probably 10 to 15 years ago again?
Nah, a couple
years. I think there is enough left. I think it all really died when Joe Cotto won. Like, to put a date and time frame to it.
Either Joe Cotto or Jamie Gold.
Like, when Joe... Because Joe Cotto was the local one. That was the one that, like, he won. Like, he started the tournament, and he was, like, 21 years and, like, 5 days old.
Yeah.
And... The poker thing just kind of died. I disagree, because Joe Cotto came back to Michigan, opened up his little poker place, and everyone – you look at a lot of those poker places, and the ones that are more prominent, like the Snookers was, the –
They're gone.
Well, not only they're gone, I'm more saying at that time, they were packed every single night.
Yes.
That's
when I used to go to Big Beaver Tavern in the basement.
Oh, God, yeah. That was a – big one.
There are 15 to 20 tables set up the
plush
entire...
Plush pocket?
Yeah.
Not as much, but, you know, there was nights that, you know, Ken, Dan...
Five-star lanes
over there in...
And we're only talking 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I think poker died... I don't know. It died poker for me in 07, 08.
Come visit me in Arizona, and wasn't you'll come around... to the 50 yeah. table poker.
Wasn't that around the time Joe Cotto won, 07, 08?
No, Cotto won 13.
Yeah, Cotto won fairly recently.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because he's a really good friend. He was a good friend of a good friend of mine.
Okay.
I
don't know.
Wasn't he wearing a Calvin Johnson jersey when he won it?
He won in 2009.
2009.
Okay. Damn.
All right. So I was right there.
So, but I mean, he came back in 09, probably 10, 11.
Yeah.
And probably 2012 is when it kind of all went away.
I mean, the whole like thing about professional poker, if you can make it work, good for you. But when was the last time you actually heard of a poker pro that you knew, that we know? Like your Johnny Chan and your Daniel Negreanu and...
Well, I think that's
Thompson.
All we know is the people.
What's that?
Jay Thompson.
Jay Thompson.
All the people we know are the people that used to be good. And the ones that are still the loudest, the Phil Hellmuth.
Nadia from American Pie.
Shannon Elizabeth. Yeah. Jennifer Tilly.
Mars Callahan.
Yeah.
That was the guy who used to that did the movie
the guy
Pool
from,
Hall Junkies.
The guy from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Brad Garrett.
Oh, welcome back, Cotter.
Kaplan.
Yeah, he's a huge poker guy.
He was doing the main world.
Was he commentating?
He was one of the original commentators before Norman Chad and Lon McCarron doing it.
There was a lot of famous people that started playing poker at that time when it got huge, like Ben Affleck.
Right.
I never got into it myself. Like, I had that one bad beat at MGM, and I stopped playing.
Yeah.
Like, I lost with a straight flush, and there was no bad beat pot. Yeah. So,
the bad beat pot at one of the casinos is like $1 million right now.
Yeah. How did you – it just didn't exist?
It didn't exist for the tables that I was at because it was like a – it wasn't like a tournament or something like that. I don't know what the rules were.
It's usually aces full of jacks and better, which would have qualified.
Yeah, so I don't remember the exact ones, but it was close. It was a low straight flush. I had 3-4. Table had 5-6-7. Guy had 8-9. That would have qualified.
That would have paid out a bad beat anywhere.
We both went all in trying to figure out why the hell the other one went all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and I'm like, I'm never doing this again. But that's kind of like, so remember when we played the blackjack tournament? And
the only thing that could have beat me is one person getting a blackjack, and that one person got a blackjack. There was no other way at all for me to
lose.
Was
that at Firekeepers?
No, this was at the Greek Town.
Was that the BJ tournament?
The only thing that could beat me in that last hand was one individual getting a blackjack, and they got it.
Yeah, because the last hand, you bet like $5 or whatever, like the lowest.
No, I bet everything. I went all in.
Oh, okay.
The last hand. Because I had so many chips, and the only person that could beat me, they had to get a blackjack in order to get enough chips, and they got it. It was like, wow.
Good
like, yeah.
All right.
I don't know how we got into poker.
I know.
I don't either. I don't know how
the things you talk about when you have no guests.
Right. All right, I'm going to get...
Well, we're in the news section
right.
still.
I know.
I'm going to go into this one. I thought this one was kind of interesting. So basically, in an attempt to kind of get an advantage on the likes of Domino's and Papa John's, which, you know, anybody has an advantage of over Papa John's, Yum Brands are basically testing beer delivery through Pizza Hut.
Oh, jeez.
Currently, this is happening in Dan's neck of the woods in Phoenix. Though, of course, the only beers being delivered are basically ABI products and Kilt Lifter by Four Peaks
Love
Brewing.
Kilt Lifter, such a great beer.
Yum Brands also made an announcement back in September with plans on opening 300 urban concept Taco Bell locations where they're going to serve beer and alcoholic drinks. Some already open, including one in Newport Beach, California, which just opened yesterday and has their own beer. The beer was made in a collaboration with Huntington Beach-based Four Sons Brewing called Beach Bell, which is a Mexican-style amber lager to, quote, enhance and complement Taco Bell's food and flavors. I love that line in there.
So you drink all of it before you get the Taco Bell?
Yeah, you have to drink a shitload of it, and then you get the Taco Bell hours later.
Can I just, as Jim Gaffigan once asked, can I just take the tacos, put them directly in the toilet, and avoid the stomach indigestion?
So they're running these new locations out there. So again, they've got the one in Newport Beach. There's a location in Cincinnati and Wabash, and there's going to be locations in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Chicago, Boulder, and Madison coming up next.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Whoa.
I mean, it's
Madison Heights, Michigan.
It's crazy enough as it is with, you know, most people who end up at Taco Bell at night are already drunk as it is.
Of course they are.
But the interesting...
Everyone in the drive-thru is drunk.
Well, I guess that's the interesting thing with these places is that these cantinas don't have a drive-thru.
Oh, that's even worse.
Ushering drunks in?
Yeah, that's the only way.
You are responsible when you park your car, not for your valuables inside, but for if anyone hits it outside.
Just put a cop with a PBT at the door. Just tickets.
But it really got me, and I know we already had the conversation about the bubble, but then it just really had me wondering is that, you know, is this becoming way so mainstream that this has to start showing, beer has to start showing up in fast food locations?
Craft beer.
Craft beer.
Chipotle was selling bottles of beer out of their establishments.
Yeah, I know
Biology
they do.
Does too.
Yeah, but when
and,
you need when you, your own
Mod,
personal,
Mod Pizza, Mod yeah. Pizza does as well.
But you need your own microbrew specifically for Taco Bell.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Why did they call Yokira Taco Bell? Yokira Ale.
Right, exactly.
Shakira Ale.
Like,
oh God.
Chihuahua wheat. I don't know.
Chihuahua. That, yeah. Hell yeah.
And right
beer.
That we'll be back for this
summer beer.
That's
no,
summer
so,
beer.
Okay, first of all, what I don't understand and what boggles my mind, mind you, back in 2008, 2009, Dan and probably Nick could attest to it. I had a business plan in regards to opening up a beer store.
I remember this.
So yeah. I had a business plan, open up a beer store. Really, you could literally, it's 8 degrees with Keno.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Well,
so
I don't know,
you,
does 8 degrees have a sign that says piss water over the cooler?
So in regards to that, like I had all these ideas, all these plans. It's literally 8 degrees, but no, 8 degrees Detroit. It had a tap room because you could sell beer inside. Mm-hmm. I had everything, Keno, And then I'm looking through these laws and I'm studying the laws and I realize that you can sell, and the laws have changed because the laws have changed for what's the, like, shipped. Like, shipped, you can get liquor and beer delivered.
Amazon Prime, you can get beer. Yeah.
Not in Michigan, though.
Because you guys aren't cool enough to have Prime. So I do it all the time.
So you can
beer.
But they're like, Drizzly is in Texas and you can get alcohol delivery in Texas. Mm-hmm. But in the state of Michigan, and this is prior to all the apps, prior to, you know, back when 3G was like the new thing on your phone.
3G.
Back when people still used AIM, RIP today.
Yep.
Is that today?
Yeah, it's today.
As of today. Oh, that's terrible.
So you can deliver alcohol, beer, wine, liquor, as long as someone purchases hot food.
Right.
Wait a minute. And then now I'm glad you remember that, or you brought that up. Embrew was doing that since they opened. I could order a growler of beer and a slice of pizza.
But you had to order the pizza to get the beer delivery.
Right.
Yep.
So I had this plan. I had this idea. And nobody uses it except for really Embrew. In the state of Michigan, you can, but again, it could be liability issues, but you can, and there's one place actually in Detroit, there's a pizza place, but it's over by DCA, the Detroit City Apartments over by Cobo.
Oh.
You can, and it's a pizza place with a liquor store attached, and you can get liquor delivered as long as you order pizza. And I just don't understand why people don't do that.
I don't think people know.
They probably don't. It's probably just not a thing. But, like, you don't think to do it. Like, oh, let me get
maybe
that
it's just
pack.
It's just like one of those tactile things where you just you have to go in and you have to see the beer and just grab the damn beer yourself.
Yeah,
it could be. It could, but that. But again, Drizzly is liquor only.
Right, but on Drizzly, at least you can actually look at a list and see
that's true.
What's there.
But to be honest, I mean, 8 out of 10 drinkers are picking a macro, so.
Right. Now you're
plus
right.
If you're
but if you're having people over and you can get a 2-4 of Bud Light on top of your pizza that you're ordering.
Let me is this Windsor? Get a 2-4?
Let me get a pony keg and 3 jet pizzas.
Let me get 2 bottles of Everclear and a slice of cheese pizza, please. Yeah.
Like, maybe some 151.
Yeah, to mix with the Everclear. Yeah.
And can you bring me one of those tobacco use only pipes, please?
I don't understand what you're saying, Matthew. But again, we're laughing and joking, but you can make a lot, especially in some – like if you could get it to where you could get some type of travel ID checker, kind of like the ones they have at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tether it to your phone if you need for internet access. But if you could deliver alcohol, the amount of money you could upcharge on that alcohol just for delivery
– right.
I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
You know what we can do is stop doing, like, being America and do what every other country does and let you just walk around and drink and do
well,
stuff
that,
like
too.
That too.
I mean, I would
maybe
love.
Not quite the same.
I would love to, like, take a cooler or a sixer with me and just, like, walk the DeQuinder Cut to the water and walk back and just have
be
a,
able to, but
have a
maybe
couple
that's
beers.
A different, little bit different, but yeah.
Well, that goes back to Matt's whole the Vegas of Detroit.
Wristbands, baby.
Shouldn't even need wristbands. Like,
I came up with this idea over a year ago. It's still the best idea in the world.
Fuck the wristbands. You just need a street where it's just allowed. Just make Monroe Street in Greektown the place, man.
You should be able to.
Like Bourbon Street in New Orleans. Right. You don't need no fucking wristbands to go drinking down the street. People drink all the time. No one's going to stop anybody. Just make it like Monroe, because Monroe Street, where Greektown is probably the closest. It'll never, ever be a Bourbon Street.
They also,
but that
they
kind
do
of
close
close
it down.
Yeah, they do need to take cars off that road then. Too.
They do at some time.
Very, very
like
rarely.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. But yeah, close auto traffic down. Make it to where you can just walk in the street like Bourbon Street, and it'll say this is the only zone in Detroit that you can open carry. Walk on the sidewalks, in the street.
What, open carry? What?
Not guns.
You can do that anywhere in Michigan.
Yeah, no, in Michigan, that kind
not
of open,
that
carry,
open carry.
Open carry, beer, alcohol, whatever, and without any problems from the police or anything like that. That's where you do it in Detroit.
I mean, in Mexico, you can do it. I mean, you got federales with machine guns everywhere.
Some illegal AK-47.
Is that considered open carry?
Well, that is, too, but you can walk around drinking, too.
Well, they're doing this huge rebirth in Corktown. Like, if you've been to Corktown, the Soav, this whole reproduction of, and they're building that, the baseball field right where Tiger Stadium used to be.
The Tri-Pal League Stadium, yeah.
You know, you could create Michigan, because I know they want to make Michigan Ave, like, walking day only is like where they closed down Michigan Ave in Corktown.
People can just twist their ankles on cobblestone.
Yeah,
and shit.
Fuck yeah, man! I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Who are they gonna sue to get their money?
Detroit insures Detroit. Remember that?
What money?
Hey, nobody hustles harder.
Let's do one more article before we take a quick break.
Quick side note, and the guys I went to high there were some guys I went to high school with. They actually are the owners of that store. Detroit Hustles Harder.
Oh, nice.
So, well, it's trivia.
All
right, Woods trivia.
Another just a quick one. Red Sox Nation is about to get themselves an official beer.
Oh gosh.
And it of course pretty much seems to be the natural choice. Financials were not disclosed as normal, but through 2025, Boston Beer Company is going to be the official. They're going to be become the official beer of the Red Sox. Basically, as part of the deal, Sam Adams brand is going to be featured throughout Fenway Park, including over in right field. That's the sponsor sign that was there for Anheuser-Busch is coming down, and Sam Adams is going up. And obviously the contract is going to give Boston Beer the ability to use Red Sox name and logo in its marketing. So it's another baseball team getting themselves an official beer, which I guess for them, I mean, hell, Boston Beer is probably right down the street. It just seems like, you know, those two just fit together.
Everything's right down the street in Boston.
Too bad Boston Brewing didn't get the...
Boston Brew Works.
Oh, Boston Brew Works.
I know what you were trying to say.
I couldn't remember the name, like, completely.
Yeah, that's a chain, kind of like a Granite City that's over in the Boston area.
Oh, is it?
I only
saw them at the airport, like, when I was there. I was like, like the off-brand Boston, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Beer Works. They're 25 years. They have multiple locations, because I went to, like, Cambridge Beer Works or something like that. Like, I was in a separate city.
Was it like the same thing?
The Worcester Beer Works or something like that. Yeah, I could never pronounce it correctly, and they all like laughed
Worcester,
at me.
Yeah,
the Worcester.
I'm sorry I didn't grow up in New England. My bad.
No, I'm sorry. I was in Farmingham. Farmingham was the place. But yeah, Farmingham.
Farmingham.
They're in the Logan Airport. England, they're in like Canals, Salem. They're in Fenway. I'm surprised they're in Fenway. That's over by work. I'm going to Boston in a couple months, so.
I'm sorry. It'll be nice and cold.
They're every February. Got to hang out in Fenway Park at the actual park last year, or this year, I guess, technically still. In February, yeah.
Wow. Jealous of you right now. It must have been like 2 degrees.
Did you take a coat?
I probably didn't. Well, it was great. This was a work party, and I remember the line was long when I got there, so I ordered two Guinness, and I'm double-fisting, and the line got short, but everyone noticed I was double-fisting and mentioned it, so I'm like, well, I have to double-fist Guinness the rest of the night, so every time I'd finish a beer, I'd get in line, finish the second one, go get two more, and that was my entire night, and I don't recall most of it.
Damn.
I was a rough morning the next morning, for sure.
I'm sure it was.
I was moving a little slower than everyone else. Well, no, we were all moving slow that night, for sure.
Goodness.
So, yeah, I remember back when Little Caesars Arena was starting, and people were like, oh, how come they chose the Goose Island or the Anheuser-Busch? I'm like, because founders don't have that money. Sorry.
So Goose Island is in the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, and they're everywhere. I was like, yeah, you need money to do that. What, we're going to have Dragon Mead. Like, you're not going to have that.
But that's the thing, though, is so a lot of these places inside Little Caesars still sell craft beer. Like, I think Rave still has a tent there.
I haven't been there yet.
In the LCA?
Yeah, the LCA.
I'm not going to spend $1,000 to go to watch the Red Wings.
Yeah, I don't think
actually, it's only like $25 to see the Pistons these days.
If oh, I forgot. Yeah, there's another bad team.
The Pistons. Aren't they in like second or third place right now?
No,
they just had like a big
shat the bed of
Yeah, they shit.
They're still not.
They shat and got off the pod.
They're still not the Suns, so, you know, they're at least doing something.
Yeah, I thought the Pistons at one point were in second place behind Boston. I don't know what they are now. I'm trying to bring it up right now real
they're
quick
like
just to see.
They're like 18 and like 19 now. They're
no.
Yeah. They, yeah.
Shit, Holy shit.
I would think like for a Coyotes game.
They're 15
game,
and 13. Like, they're still over 500.
First 50 people get an emergency player designation for getting in.
Shit. Everyone gets a please come back Shane Doan sign for going back.
Wow. Shane Doan?
He just retired.
Wow. Like, I haven't heard that name in forever, though.
He retired at the end of last season.
Just goes to show how much hockey I don't watch anymore.
Well, it's the Coyotes, too, so. Right. At the end of the day.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I was going to say, he played 20 seasons.
Oh, on the same team. Yeah. He was there forever.
That's actually pretty impressive by any sports standard.
He was at the Jets when the Wings, like, swept him and everyone started throwing glass on the ice because they were so pissed.
I recall, I'm trying to think of, like, Steve Yzerman, probably one of them that's that type of tier in regards to on the same team forever. Nicklas Lidström.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. Zetterberg, I think, was on the was O2. Zetterberg.
He was on 0-2.
Yeah, Zetterberg's always been on the team. So
Tom Brady will probably be that way when he retires.
Who's that?
Some guy from fucking New England. Played for Michigan.
Whatever, it's Michigan. Nobody cares about Michigan or New England.
Yeah, right.
Oh, whatever.
So we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
Should have been
and we are live, episode 112, segment 3 of the Better on Draft podcast. And as always, with segment 3, you ready, Matt? You ready? He's got to put his headphones.
He's reading about the iPhone.
I was doing my facial recognition.
You were trying to do facial. Oh my gosh!
Facial recognition.
Hey, I can't talk today, and I'm not even drunk. Like I've had two beers and a little bit of hop slam.
I'm gonna say I'm about to, you know, probably get a little drunk myself in a little bit. Going to a beer share at my brother's place.
Nice.
All right, you can turn that off before we get in trouble for using bad music. But as always, with segment 3 is Matt Bush.
5 questions.
Yeah, I didn't make you a jingle yet. I love how you put on the headphones thinking I made up a jingle.
I know.
All right, so I don't really have a geography question this week.
What?
But I kind of do. So this famous West Coast rapper.
You got to talk into the mic.
Famous West Coast rapper.
That's why you should have your headphones on.
It's obviously Tupac.
Like.
Question 2.
No, this famous West Coast rapper released the newest and hottest Hanukkah song in recent history this week.
It's obviously Nate.
Oh, so it's not DMX with his Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That was like 2012 anyways.
That guy's in jail anyways.
Was it A?
DMX is not in jail.
Yeah, he is.
Not
actually. He's back, yeah.
No.
No, he just got popped for tax. Like,
oh, okay, because he was on that the show Fresh Off the Boat not that long ago.
Yeah, he just got popped.
Yeah, off the boat to Rikers.
They're closing Rikers. So
was it A, Dr. Dre? Was it B, Snoop Dogg? Was it C, Too Short? Or was it D, Exhibit?
What were the options again?
Famous West Coast rapper released the newest and hottest Hanukkah song in recent history.
I think I gotta go with Too Short.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
That's too short.
That's too short.
Don't play it though, because we're gonna get banned on Twitch.
You do. Oh, okay.
Well, you'll get banned. You'll just get
too short.
You'll get
yes.
muted, but it mutes like the 5 minutes before and five minutes after.
Yeah. So we'll wait 10 minutes like this.
Yeah.
Shut the hell off.
All right. Speaking of Hanukkah songs, how many does Adam Sandler have?
Mm. 4.
I'm gonna actually agree with Ken. 4.
I have no idea.
I was gonna pull a card chart.
Is O.J. Simpson a Jew yet or no? That's the only thing I remember.
O.J. Simpson, not Jewish.
Not a Jew.
All right. The answer is 4.
Yeah.
But guess who is Hall of Famer? Rod Carew.
He converted.
All right. So everyone's got a little bit of cup in their hands.
Very hot.
Oh, I haven't drank it yet.
The only description I got was pours a light golden color with juicy peach, tangerine, and citrus flavor profile. Dry hopped with Galaxy Citra and Mandarina Bavaria. So
I'll try those words again.
Mandarina Bavaria. So the worrisome holler of truth this week is brought to you by Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of 59 on Rochester Road. It rates a 3.79 out of 5 and is a 6.9% ABV.
Show that label.
It's not bad, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
I am at a full, like,
Like, I have no clue what that could be.
It was either this or Muhammad.
I've got nothing. It just tastes like
hoppy.
It's not bitter though.
It's not, no, it's not hot. Yeah.
Is this a Michigan beer?
Savage Garden here for a moment with the beer.
No, it's a little truly madly deep.
Right.
It is a Michigan beer.
It's a Michigan beer. Shit.
Should we do our usual east or west of 75 or whatever? 23 question.
No.
I think 23 is probably the better.
23.
Yeah, I'm thinking because that's probably gonna be more west than 75. I would say try to do east or west of 23 first.
Yeah, let's do east or west of 23. Let's get at least a little bit of a geography.
That would be an improper question.
Is this east of US 23?
Again, I can't exactly answer that question.
Why not?
How the hell can you not?
Because it kind of resides on 23.
So
it can't be on the highway.
So wait, where's old?
Like in the middle of the road.
Right.
I mean, is this at a rest area?
No, because even that would be east or west.
Okay. It's legally it lies east of 23. However, not by much.
Okay, but it is east. You're making it treat like it's one of those like rest center islands.
It is not. They're called oases.
Oasis. That's right.
Oasi.
Oasi.
Oasis.
Was it a crazy game of poker? Get it? Oasis. Wow, Matt. I expecting a pun for you to like.
I didn't get that one. No.
Oasis. Crazy game of poker. That's their song. Maybe I should do Wonderwall.
Wow.
That's the only Oasis song I know. I was a big fan of Trash English. Alternative rock.
Don't worry, you're not going to live forever.
That's Savage Garden.
Still a ways.
All right, so it's east of 23, but it's like just off of 23.
Just off of 23. So anything.
You should definitely get some road beers for this one.
Just off of 23.
I was going to say, Ipsy is just.
But there's nothing. Like, just off of 23, when you go into Ipsy, there's still kind of a ways before you really get into Ipsy where you get to the breweries. So there's nothing, like, because that's just the Washtenaw exit, and there's nothing there.
It's just east of 23.
It is just east of 23, correct.
And did you get it at Zatoon? Oh, no, we can't answer that.
Yes, I got it at Zatoon Liquor.
So hold on.
Go ahead.
Because where is that damn Sheboygan Brewery? That would be just east of damn 23. That's literally right off the freeway. Or not off the freeway. That's literally on the east side, right by the lake when you're going into downtown Sheboygan. The other one I can think of, the Alpena one, but I don't know if they distribute.
Austin Bros does distribute.
That would also be, hold on, because I'm trying to picture where that is. Let me see. I want to see it.
All right, so Sheboygan is not the answer.
It's not? Okay.
I can confidently say that. Austin Bros is, and I don't know if you would give us Austin Bros right after Austin Bros is in studio.
I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, that's just one of those, if you're going to hide something, put it in the most obvious spot.
Yeah, because that's really.
I mean, is there anything on 23 south of 94?
South of 94? No, I mean when you're not east of 23.
Okay,
east of 23. No,
I'm just making sure because I know there's breweries down there. I just don't know.
And you're sure Austin Bros is east of 23? Because 23 runs.
I'm positive it's east of 23. I'm looking at like cities and maps and knowing where stuff is. So, but I mean Austin Bros distros, and if Matt says he got it from Zatoona, I mean it's a growler. Like my first, I'm absolutely at a loss in regards to what it could be. Like I have nothing to go on, nothing to think about. And to be honest, he could have taken the growler home last week and poured it into the holler. It could be a beer we had last week.
That would be a thing.
Do you put that past Matt?
No, I know.
That's. I mean, anything goes.
Fuck it. Question number two: is this an Austin?
Yes, it is.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I bow to your omnipresence on that bullshit right there.
I did give you two clues already that you kind of overlooked.
You did?
I did.
I didn't hear them. We were too busy mentioning quotes about Wonderwall and Crazy Game of Poker. So it's an Austin Beer Company beer. I have no idea what their beers are that has...
This is that 40... You know, I think it might be that 46er? The one with the number?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
I'm getting at least...
You know, they like the party. That's what we do.
Yes, they do like the party.
Like the Venga Boys.
The Venga Boys.
We like
the party.
Thank you, Matthew.
That was not pleasurable at all.
It's obviously an IPA, but that's the thing, though, is they make so many IPAs because they have the Murky series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even... Even started. The 45er, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, 45er. That's what I think. Well, no, I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's... So we have two questions. So we literally can guess.
Are you on the Austin Brothers website?
Yeah.
Because you have the description right in front of you.
Oh, okay. I can't say anything else. Never mind.
I mean,
so I'll let Nick, Rob, and Dan figure this out.
I don't know any of their.
Can you get the description one more time?
I don't know any of their beers. Sure.
Nick.
Well, I told you when I bought this beer, it was either this or Muhammad.
This or Muhammad.
Do you see what I did there? No? Okay.
No.
I knew that was a hint. I just did not know. I didn't get it.
Pours a light golden color with a juicy peach, tangerine, and citrus flavor profile. Try hopped with Galaxy Citra and Mandrina Bavaria.
Oh. I didn't even catch that. I was going to guess something completely else, too.
Hell yeah, we should get some road beers. 13 road beers.
Oh, my God. Now I catch the quotes, too. I can't even say it. Sorry, guys. I've lost. I can't help you here.
I got nothing.
You guys are super bad at this.
I don't know the names.
Wow,
of their beers.
He really laid that
I know,
one on.
He really just did. So, I mean, what is it? Is it named McLovin?
Remember, it's the Murky series.
Murky, like from Hots?
Murky Murk?
He was just here.
Come on, Murk Muffin.
He was at the Meyer and Taylor.
McLovin.
There we go. It's McLovin.
It's Merc Love.
I told her what time it was.
Absurdity at its best.
How old is that movie now? That's got to be at least a decade old.
No, okay. It is.
It's got to be.
I think it's 2007 or 2008. When...
All right, so The Last Jedi was
07.
Released this weekend.
Yes, baby, I'm good.
What is your favorite movie franchise?
Oh, that's easy. I'll let everyone else go. I bet a lot of you can guess mine.
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
That is a great one. Come on. Even Mr. Robot.
So Back to the Future was part of Mr. Robot this season, and you were here last time, you're like, have you seen Mr. Robot? I'm like, no, not yet. He goes, watch it. Yeah. And I finally watch it. I'm like, It was
Back to the Future 2 day. He was like, he tried to kill himself, and he's like, let's go watch this.
Nick, you have a favorite movie franchise?
Favorite movie franchise.
Wow.
Dead Air.
That's crazy.
No, that is it.
I think.
Okay, go ahead. RoboCop.
Wow.
RoboCop.
Third one was ass, but the first and second one are pretty good.
Ooh.
I think I'd have to stick with Star Wars, even though I'm not like a super Star Wars guy. I think they're good, reliable movies when they come out, and they're always.
I think that's pretty much because I'm trying to think of something to dispute that.
50
and,
Shades.
And
well, thanks. Well, I was going to go the Magic Mike's. Like,
the Magic Mike.
What about the Neighbors franchise?
The Neighbors franchise? I haven't seen the sequel yet.
You haven't?
No.
The sequel's awesome.
Is that what that
Sorority Rising?
Sorority.
Yeah. Because the first one has Baby Franco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Franco.
They actually both have Baby Franco on it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the Jump Street franchise?
What about the Revenge of the Nerds franchise?
Well, I think up to, 3, No, wait.
You know what? Wait a minute.
Wait.
What about the Police Academy franchise?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's great.
Those are all great.
The Police Academy franchise.
Is there a bad movie in that whole set?
Was
it the one where they're in Russia?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's bad.
Okay, if we're honestly going to go Police Academy, then you got to say the American Pie franchise.
No, Police Academy
they had some really bad ones.
Oh, no, Police Academy was amazing.
I mean, you can't go without saying Godfather.
Yes.
All right, that's
God, I mean, that's probably...
I can go without
saying is it really a franchise when there's only two of them?
There's three of them.
No, there's two of them. Don't fucking tell me there's a third one. you all know there's no third one. There's only two. Stop it.
Never.
Apparently, he doesn't like it when Michael dies.
Apparently, we just
have you watched Godfather 3 lately? That was the Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
That's a good series.
That one really jumped the shark way too quick.
The Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
On the second one or the third?
Yeah, the second one was already
Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, that could have been just one.
No one for the horror franchises. Saw, Freddy,
no.
Jason.
I like the Michael Myers movies.
No, I will go and say. And it was only saved by the TV series, but the Hannibal Lecter movies.
Oh, the Silence of the Animals? Or Silence of the Lambs.
Is the worst. All the animals, not just lambs. All of them.
Silence of the Lambs is the worst of the three.
What about the original three Ninja Turtle movies?
Oh, no.
No. I found we're going to do anything
with
Ninja Turtle.
I see where this is getting
with
ready
my
to go.
Boy Ernie Reyes, star of Surf Ninjas.
Yes.
I knew this was
Is this
going
the one with Seamus where he's Rocksteady?
That's the new one.
Oh,
that's never mind. He said the original.
The original three. So it's the one where they're in New York, and then the
Secret of the Ooze is number
Secret two. Secret of the Ooze, and then sure. Turtles in Time or whatever.
You know what's interesting that none of us mentioned? And
Predator?
Not Predator. No.
Hobbit?
Danny Glover, baby.
So we didn't mention a lot
Weathers.
Of the newer sci-fi. Like I'm trying to think of what would be proper term, because there's sci-fi like Star Wars, Back to the Future, but then there's sci-fi like...
Blade Runner.
That's the newer one, like newer sci-fi. But we didn't mention like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. We didn't mention...
Fantasy, you mean?
Fantasy, yeah. That's a good word for it. We didn't mention Indiana Jones.
No one mentioned... Rocky.
I haven't seen a minute
Rocky.
Of any Indiana Jones movie.
Creed 2 coming out, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And then you got, isn't the next one going to have Brock Lesnar as Drago Jr.?
Yeah, it's going to have Dolph Lundgren.
Awesome.
Well, Dolph Lundgren, yeah. And
right.
Yeah,
what about Rambo?
I never liked the Rambo series.
I like the last one where they were in Miramar.
The recent one?
Babies getting thrown into fires.
Well,
yeah,
thinking of Rambo, what about, making Rambo modern day, and you have the Expendables.
Yeah.
I like the first one. I didn't see the other ones, but I heard
the Transporter was good.
The Transporter
was good.
Taken.
All right.
And now there's gonna be another Commuter where he's on like a train.
All right, here
they're all the same.
He's riding a queue line.
Yeah. He's riding
3.3 miles.
We're all missing one. The Fast and Furious franchise.
That's
hey, did you see yeah. eight? Eight was amazing.
You,
eight
you
was
say,
really good.
You say no? That's probably one of the biggest money making franchises.
Yeah.
Eight. Like they probably, I think they made more than obviously. I mean,
the top two, I think, still are like James Bond and Harry Potter. I mean,
James Bond's got a lot of
the thing,
and we forgot Alien.
I'm furious. So they keep adding big names.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
So
Charlize Theron.
Getting rid of Marvel. You have Harry Potter, James Bond, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Spider-Man, The Fast and the Furious, and Transformers.
Transformers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone has to see Megan Fox with no clothes.
Well, they're robots in disguise.
So you could be anywhere. We could be talking to Transformers.
It's Shia LaBeouf.
I still stick with the 1984 animated classic Transformers.
I do remember that, but...
All right, question five. What has been your favorite beer of 2017?
Favorite beer in 2017?
Favorite beer of 2017.
Is that to be a new beer from 2017?
No, it's just the beer that you probably like the most in 2017.
Or a beer you discovered in 2017?
Yeah, that's probably a good one, too. For me, it's going to be from Against the Grain, Brown Note.
Interesting, yeah.
Brown Note was a very delicious beer, very easy to drink, very sessionable. It was funny, I won a thing on DACB raffle, and I was Brown Note Ken was my name, just because.
That's a great name.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Mine's one I brought here from Arizona. You refer to it as chewing on coffee beans. Sunup's White Russian. It's Russian Imperial Stout with coffee. can't get enough of it.
All right. Mm.
Ruins the next day. You'll be drinking your
drink. I think I pretty much, I feel like I have to go with one of the longest names in beer right now.
The Panic at the Disco name?
No. The
right.
Griffin Claw Great Lakes Roasting Company Flying yes. Buffalo.
That's a great one.
Good one.
That is a
You damn. Brought that or you had that with the first, Rob, or maybe
so,
you brought
so
it.
Rob
the first
was,
show.
So Rob brought it in the first time
yeah.
when we were at the old studio. Mm-hmm. That's when we first heard of it. We had that one compared with the regular one.
Yeah, that's what it was. We had the Great Lakes
yeah.
and the
and
regular.
We all came to the consensus that the Flying Buffalo Great Lakes
yeah.
coffee
was
the
yeah.
better of the two.
Probably the one was like right behind it, and I will hope that somebody in California can send me more bottles of this stuff. It's from Tuscan Grain. It's a brandy barrel-aged coffee porter. Which was smooth as absolute hell, and I need to find more of this stuff because this stuff was phenomenal.
Is it from Russian River?
St. Archer Brewing Company.
Oh man, for me, I've been milking this 4-pack for as long as I can because I can. The Surly Coffee Bender. That's one that I really wish that they distroed here in Michigan and. If they ever get here, that'll probably be a go-to for a long time.
Hopefully courtesy of Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the coffee bender, but I mean we drank that back in the old studio last year.
Yeah,
like, I remember that.
When Downey was here for the first time.
Yeah, I think both you and I have like stocked up on it every time we're
yeah,
over
when,
in like
yeah,
Chicago.
Whether it was
or...
like me or going there, or you going there or somewhere in there, but yeah, I mean that one. There's another one that Ken that I brought from when I went to that Green Bay game. It was that one. It was in a plaid. It was like a plaid can. It was like Bunyan beer.
Yeah,
brown
yeah. You had
like
given
that.
Me one of those.
Yeah, that one was really good. If that one ever makes its way back into Michigan, then that'd be one that I'd like to probably get more of.
What about you, Matt?
I was taken most aback by two beers this year, in a good way. So probably taking a forward maybe. Number one was the Kiwi Club Goza from Bell's.
Oh, yes.
The
yes.
strawberry kiwi, super light.
Yeah.
Nice and salty.
I hate Gozas, but that sucker is pretty fucking good.
And I transferred into the stout or into dark beers this year in part because of Baffin's Porter de Razzi. So that would be my two.
Love that name.
It's the raspberry porter. And then. The coffee stout at Eastern Market Brewing Company, where we will be holding a tailgate party tomorrow, is super good. It's yep. basically like a cold brew coffee mm. and doesn't have the viscosity of a lot of the dark beers, which is the thing that turns me off. So those would be my
it's
top three.
It's lower in ABV, too. Is it the
it's
most
like 5, 6
fire,
maybe?
Yeah, it's
which
like,
is
it's,
probably what yeah. makes a difference.
Yeah, it's like high 5, low
but,
6.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the Goza because it was so light and refreshing, but... I've kind of been turned on a little bit more to the dark beer, so I'll kind of have to give a shout out to those ambassadors for me.
Well, we'll definitely be trying a lot of dark beers when we go to Winterfest in February over in Grand Rapids.
Yep. Fifth Third Ballpark.
Yes. We will be there most likely Friday night. I don't know if we're doing anything Saturday. But nonetheless, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Whether you're listening or watching live, we appreciate you. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, Brown Iron Brew House over in Washington Township, and North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. We have our, you're probably listening way past this, but we have our tailgate party tomorrow, as well as on January 3rd at Brown Iron Brew House, we have our head-to-head, not a competition because Baffin won, but your chance to try them both at once on us. That's right. We are going to be buying the beer for you. So come on out, have the beer. Again, the beer bought by us. So nothing for you, but buy the food there. You know,
yes, buy the food.
Definitely buy the food. Make it a night
tip
out
your
for sure.
Staff.
Definitely tip your wait staff. But that's again going to do it. If you do listen to us on iTunes or any form like that, leave us a review, leave us a rating. I don't care if it's 1-star struggling podcast or 5 stars. Give Ken more IPAs. We appreciate the reviews. It helps us out a lot. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.